Stay in touch with us on Facebook and Instagram at Unique Yet Connected.
You are now listening to the 33rd episode of Unique Yet Connected podcast. The theme for this episode is, when is being in a codependent relationship good for me? Hello, brilliant souls in and around the world. Nolita Kozwa Fenton is my name. Dologazi is my clan name. And this is episode 33. A warm welcome to Unique Yet Connected podcast, where we treat our episodes as mini workshops so we can best share the wisdom of systemic family constellations. Thank you for joining our movement of translating this wisdom into a practical language that all of us can easily understand, and most importantly, implement in our everyday lives. The theme for this episode is quite interesting because I thought being codependent is a bad thing, but I'm looking forward to hearing from it. And the theme is, when is being in a codependent relationship good for me? Remember, when you comment, ask questions, like and share our content and links, you help us grow together. And there wouldn't be a podcast without you, myself, Nick, Kinga, and the ones who came before us, as well as Bert Hellinger, the founder of the work that is most fulfilling for Kinga and myself. And as always, Kinga is right here on the other side. And thank you for joining us, Kings, and for having you here as my partner. How are you?
Thank you, my partner, Noli. Hello, dear listeners and co-editors. Yes, like Noli said, dear listeners, keep sharing this knowledge because it can change lives for the better. Thank you for your huge contribution. You are our inspiration in building and opening up the theme about the laws of love and romantic relationships. Please continue to share your questions, comments, and insights on uniqueyetconnected@gmail.com and on WhatsApp 076-289-6670. Join our monthly virtual connection circle every last Tuesday evening of the month. To receive your link, subscribe on our website www.uniqueyetconnected.com or check for updates about the upcoming themes on our socials at Unique Yet Connected.
Do you also welcome to drop us a WhatsApp message and we can share our link with you. And our WhatsApp number again is 076-289-6670. Kings, I am still amazed by the themed constellations we talked about in the last episodes. And I had no idea that one can do a constellation of the infant stages in the womb. This work keeps revealing itself, more layers and layers are peeling off in each episode.
Yes, systemic constellation work is an intriguing work. It is very exciting and a privilege to be involved in this work. It never gets boring and every client brings something new because we are always looking into what is unknown to us. Because obviously, if we would know where our problems are coming from, we would make all attempts to fix it. For me, it's fascinating and I find it even more interesting that we can approach learning about the unknown from two different directions. One is where we don't know where our problem is originated from and would like to find the source of it and also to heal it. This is the most common enigma we work with, and I know, Noli, you have seen it numerous times in constellations already. And the second one is when we know that a certain event has definitely had an effect on our or on our children's life. So here the unknown comes from not knowing where and how the benefits of the constellation will show themselves. We do it because we know that a certain event has more than probably had a negative effect on our system. For this, we have to let go of our need to control the outcome of the constellation. What I mean by this is that we can't say that I'm experiencing something negative in my life and it is coming from this event that happened in my family. We have to step into the field with the open-ended question and let the field, the system, give us the answer to our question.
Yeah, tell me about that, because it's tempting when you know and you think So you try and control the outcome of the constellations. And I've seen this happen in our workshops as well. And I've been tempted as well to do it. So it's a temptation that's there. And I also like how you just immediately pick that up, and you do it in the most subtle way to say, just let the field decide. So yeah, so thank you.
Yes, thank you. As I mentioned just now, when someone books a constellation session and states his problem and also states where it's coming from, that there is nothing left for the system to the subconscious to show up. When you know exactly what is happening, then why would you come to a constellation?
Exactly. So what you are saying is we should leave room for the system to reveal itself, even if we think we know.
Yes, constellation work starts with the question, then it goes down into the unknown and comes up with some kind of resolution. And we spoke about the team constellation. So there you can come and say, this is what I want to work with. At the end of the last episode, we finished with the teamed constellation, and I would like to mention a few teams we can work with, acknowledging and honoring previous relationships before our marriage. We can work with all the children of ours, living and dead. And the 9 months is in the womb constellation, what we talked about in the last episode. That also belongs to the theme constellation group. And this one is done month by month by month, starting from the first months in the womb, up to the 9th month, and we check in with every single month what we experienced while we were in the womb.
The themed one you're talking about is the one like the one I did before I got married.
Yes, that one was for the previous relationships. And if you want to, we can also go through the one and you go through the 9 months of your development in your womb of your mom. We have a workshop every first Saturday of the month, so we can have a look.
I would definitely love to do that one. And then here's a question for it. In the womb stages, do you do the whole 9 months in one constellation, or you do it over a period of time? How does it work?
You do it in one constellation, and there is actually two different constellation themes called constellation related to the conception, pregnancy, and birth. The one we look into what was happening with and between your parents while they were expecting you. This is interesting for me because, when we work in a workshop, we normally use representatives for a person. There is, if you're new to this podcast, we talked about this in the previous episodes, why? But we normally use the information what the representative can give us. And in this one, we always use the client, him or herself, to do the constellation. With the 9 months in the womb constellation, we would have representatives, or if it's, we can also use chat, put in for each and every one of the months. In a one-on-one session, we obviously would use like chairs because there is just a client and the facilitator. And then the client can sit into the chair allocated 1st month, 2nd month, 3rd month, 4th month, etc., and feel what was happening in each month of the pregnancy. Some months will need healing and some will be okay.
I would love to know what was happening with my parents when I was in the womb, so that I'm definitely in for the next workshop, Kings.
Yeah, when I had a constellation on this about my parents, it was an eye-opening session for me because they couldn't see me at all. It looked like that they haven't even realized they were pregnant. They had just so many problems between the two of them that, like, so it's a, you can carry from here not feeling being seen. So it was a very important constellation for me. And as I said, that the inner child work and the constellation work, they match each other very nicely. They kind of support each other very nicely. The inner child work and these two constellation work, they're very similar to each other. With the inner child work, we also can use two different methods, and we can start to work on an inner child issue by asking the client to close his eyes, and after a short meditation that helps him connect to his heart, we ask him how old he feels, and we start off with that age. What happened? How does it feel to be that age? Is anyone there with you? Who is your support? Etc. This is a type of inner child healing that happens in one session. Then there is a structured inner child healing where we go through the development stages one by one. This type of healing doesn't happen in one day. Every development stage has its own allocated session, and they are each about 2 hours long. And it's also necessary to leave some space and spend some time with that stage. So we normally leave at least 2 weeks break between the sessions.
Yeah, interesting that you mentioned that your parents didn't know that you were there. My parents also didn't know because that was not the plan. So I was an oops baby, and my mom didn't know. She just said she had cravings, and she didn't even know that you would have cravings when you're pregnant. So that's interesting. And I think what's also interesting for me about getting into these relationship development stages is the fact that they still reveal our inner stuff and the invisible stuff in our family system. I also like how the inner child work and systemic work come together, and I would definitely love to experience that.
So obviously you know me quite well, and you know that I'm quite a structured person. So with the development stages, for me, it makes sense to create a stable foundation, go through the healing path, which we didn't have the ability to go through when we were a child, and come out from it stronger with a new strength we didn't have before we went into this stage, and now we can go with it, with its support, into the next stage. When you are doing the inner child work, you will find that some stages are more wounded and some are fine. We have a self-questionnaire for every single stage, and by your yes and no answers, you can measure the level of your woundedness for that stage. Sometimes it might surprise you. Like for me, I was absolutely sure that my toddler stage was going to be a mess. Apparently, I was a terrorist, and it was not. And I did the questionnaire, and I was much more healed than I expected. But to my surprise, I still had quite a few things from my infant stage. And when I got to the school age, oh my God, my level of woundedness just shocked me.
This is definitely a new chapter. Even for me as a co-host, I can already feel it. Let's now get into the crux of this episode by reading the quote that is a foundation of the natural development stages of the relationship episode. Let's take it away, Kings.
Yeah, so this might be a repetition to someone who's been following the episode, but someone new, we would like to reshare the quote what we just read from Tom Robbins' Still Life with the Woodpecker in the previous episode. When two people meet and fall in love, there is a sudden rush of magic. Magic is just naturally present then. We tend to feed on that gratitude's magic without striving to make any more. One day we wake up and find that the magic is gone. We hustle to get it back, but by then it is usually too late. We have used it up. What we have to do is work like hell at making additional magic right from the start. It is hard work, but if we can remember to do it, we greatly improve our chances of making love stay. As you just heard, I do work with inner child development stages, and in our way of looking into the development stages, it is natural for us to look from this point of view that as the inner child develops, how is linked into our relationship development. As just again, as you just heard, they linked in very nicely with the systemic work. They go hand in hand. If you're not familiar with the systemic work yet, this is your first episode you're listening. The first part of our podcast is about what is the laws of love, what is systemic work, what we work with it. So as it is always is with the systemic work, the present is rooted in the past. Even though we are in a new chapter of our podcast series, the perspective of the episodes are still based on the basic principles of laws of love. In this chapter, we will open up the laws of love by delving into our most intimate relationships and love life. And we are at the first stage, the codependent stage. And I would like to note here, the codependent stage and codependency are not the same thing. Back to the codependent stage, we mentioned this already in the previous episode, but we'd like to recap here. What happens in this codependent phase of the relationship that we can't imagine life without the other? We can stand and gaze into each other's eyes for hours. All we want is to be together and never be separated, to merge into one. We all know the term, love is blind. Do we? Yes, we do. Nolly is nodding. We find happiness in every little thing related to the relationship. Even the act of thinking about this person brings us happiness. We spend all thinking about and planning how to please the other half. Suddenly, the me we talked about in the previous episode only wants be wanting a V to become a V. The two halves merge into one. The stage is really magical. It takes us back to the wonderful feeling of unity and moves us away from loneliness and isolation. When two people fall in love, they reenact the earliest mother-child bonding. In essence, they fuse into each other. They feel an omnipotent oneness and power. Each shares his deepest and most vulnerable self with the other. So now the codependent phase sounds wonderful. What a beautiful phase of a relationship. So a question comes, why does it have to end? The answer to this question lies in the beginning, in the reason behind us choosing our partner and falling in love with a certain person.
Talking about the end, you know, the ending can really drive people to the edge. I mean, I've heard a lot of stories of people trying to commit suicide or beating each other up because the stage has come to an end. And then I also remember not understanding why things suddenly changed. And this is bringing light about my past relationships. And at some point, my friends and I would have conversations asking ourselves, what happened? I mean, we were so close and so connected with this person, and the day would never pass without talking or seeing each other. And the calls at the beginning came like 3 to 5 times a day, some people even 10. And, you know, if you stayed far from each other, traveling was not an issue. And then one day, boom. It's dead quiet, or the person is complaining about the distance. And it would feel like the plug of magic has just been pulled out. So now I do understand that there are stages and the relationship goes. That time I didn't understand that. And there could be people who don't know these stages. Dear listener, we are looking forward to hearing from you, hearing your insights and your experiences about the codependent stage and concepts and things about relationships. And most importantly, questions. So, Kings, do you have any examples of some of the reasons behind choosing and falling in love with a certain person? I know you said it is the wound. What kind of wounds that can bring the two different people in a relationship together?
So before we look at example, let's look at worry to someone who is just as wounded as we are. According to Noid, being in a relationship is the essence of self. A self can exist only because of the other. Someone has to see, hear, and feel us, thus confirming our existence. This fact makes us fundamentally dependent on the other. Thus, in reciprocity, in the exact same way, the other is dependent on us. Our deepest, most vulnerable self is the part in us that was so hurt that actually stopped growing emotionally. The part that is often called the wounded inner child in us. This part doesn't know how to be dependent on others in a healthy way. The unhealed child's needs are unfulfillable, and because of this, at this stage, the childhood dependency needs cannot be met by the person himself, and the wounded child in us starts to depend on somebody from the outside for these needs to be met.
That does resonate, I must say, and I now understand why some of my earliest relationships were so painful and hard. And I finally feel like this is the final nail in the coffin, especially for my previous marriage. I truly get it now. This has answered a lot of things about myself. It was the inner child stuff that was not resolved in me at the time, and I expected yet another person to fulfill, and of course, they couldn't fulfill past the codependent stage. So yeah, I get it.
Indra Thorson has a very good example. He says, imagine a child growing up in a family in which across generations, children have been raised with little motherly devotion. In turn, the child will look at his mother with the same lack of devotion as is normal within his family. It is a pattern transmitted across generations. Later in his own marriage, there will be the same limited devotion between him and his partner because that is what he is used to. That is how attractors work. It is his inner image, his mindset, as I call it, about relationship. As a rule, it is a perfect reciprocal fit to the needs of his partner, resulting from the lack of devotion in her childhood. Otherwise, there is no resonance between them, and without resonance, the relationship is not possible. Partners need to mutually recognize themselves in their mindset. It has to fit for both. If one received a lot of devotion and the other very little, they are not a good match. The partner who is used to receiving a lot of devotion will not feel seen or respected by the partner who is used to receiving a lot of devotion. The first will end the relationship because it does not feel right to him or her.
This can be so frustrating, you know, when you look at it without the wisdom, because you can be like, why does this child not attract who they want, you know? Why are they attracting more devotion instead of attracting their pattern, you know, with less devotion? And it reminds me about what you spoke about in one of the episodes when we discussed the addiction, when people will be like, this person must just stop drinking or stop, you know, doing drugs, and that's it. But there's always more to it than that. So there's something invisible can be revealed and shifted by the systemic work.
As the quote said, a relationship like that will not last. The question is, why would we go back to the same relationship over and over again? This is a great question to explore in the constellation. But back to your question about the quote, in the end, in both cases, the child inside is looking for a lot of devotion and attention from the other. They may be coming from different backgrounds, but the need is the same. There is no way they can give to each other what they both want from each other. One doesn't know how to take and has nothing to give from, and the other doesn't know how to give. So truth is that we have to have an inner yearning in us that needs to be filled. When we are not healed yet, this inner yearning is actually our wound, a lack inside us that wants to be filled. When we start to heal, this lack gets filled by us through the healing process.
I like that this lack that we feel, you know, will be filled by us as we heal through the process of healing. I like that. Then we are we are fulfilled within ourselves instead of looking for the fulfillment outside there. So, yes. And with the example you just gave from Indra Tosin, how would a constellation session look like?
In a constellation session, we often work with availability in the relationship. How available you are for your partner, how available he is for you. What we often see and experience is that someone would say, my partner is not available for me, he's not here, he doesn't give me attention, all of that. The client might also say that they themselves are not available for their partner for an unknown reason to them, even though they love them. We often see is a situation that, yes, we do match each other in our availability to our partner. That's we often see in the constellation. Some of the reason could be that someone is still very connected to mom or dad. Another one, that someone passed on early and the client is still yearning for this person. For a good example is kind of, and we don't really think about this one in normal life, when someone had a twin, the pregnancy started off as a twin who didn't stay. And actually 36% of pregnancies start off as twin or triplets. So if we had a twin like that, we would be looking for this twin in our whole life and all the time. And only after the original grieving work is done can we become available for our partner. Another reason could be if mom and dad were not available to us, this pattern, by the way, normally goes back generations, like in the Indra Thorson's example. What happens here is that we end up not knowing how to be nurtured or to be the nurturer in a relationship. We don't know how to be because we never experience it. And in a certain way, even the system kind of forgotten about what is this nurturing looks like. There also could be a belief that I don't deserve to get attention, even though I want an enormous amount of attention, but I don't deserve it. And I will choose a partner who will give me exactly that, no attention. So a good relationship is not based on 50-50. If I am 50% in the relationship and my partner is 50% in the relationship, where are the other 50% are tied on to already? Two halves don't make a whole. Another question you might ask, is it enough to look into the reason behind my unavailability? I would say more than probably yes, because everything around us is a mirror of what is happening inside us.
That is so perfectly, two halves don't make a whole. The mirror, what's happening inside us, we attract. I love that. So for me, this also ties back into episode 31 about the beliefs, messages we carry about relationships.
Yes, it does. The codependent stage often shows us our connectedness to life. So this is a big one. Are we connected to our life or not? How available we are to our life.
Yes, how available we are to our life. So for me, this has been a very insightful episode on the codependent stage of a relationship. It is the best place to end this episode. And what I'm taking in with me is that it's very important to understand these stages before we enter into relationships or marriages, so we can navigate these stages better and not feel so discouraged when it's time to step up and grow into the next stage of the relationship. Please do let us know how you found this episode. Kings, what's in the next episode for us?
Just a last note about the difference between dependent and dependency. The natural development stage only turns into dependency when you carry on holding on to it beyond the end of the stage. Dependency is when we stop our emotional development. A relationship rarely survives when one person is ready to move on to the next development stage and learn a new higher level of being dependent, and the other one wants to stay in the previous stage, and with that stopping growth and creating dependency issues. In the next episode, we will look into how to recognize that if you or your partner is stuck in codependency. Just again, if you feel like you are experiencing limiting patterns or relationship issues, something happened in this episode and you feel that you would like to have a constellation session, an individual one, or in a workshop, book with us, visit our website. You can book there, www.uniqueconnected.com, or on our socials, Facebook or Instagram. Our handle on both platforms is at Unique Yet Connected. Thank you.
And thank you for listening to our 33rd episode. And a big thank you to Nick Mons from That Guy Productions for making us sound fabulous and on point. And our 34th episode is in 2 weeks' time from now. Tune in on the 29th of October at 10 a.m. or rather say from 10 a.m. South African Standard Time. And remember that our episodes are online at any time. You need to listen to them or re-listen to them. Don't hesitate. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. Like our pages, engage with us on Facebook or Instagram at Unique Yet Connected. Unique spelled YOUNIQUE. Stay unique, stay connected. And remember, you are one of a kind and we can only create a really meaningful podcast together. And siyabulela khoso nonke magu. Till the next episode.
Thank you. Bye. See you. Bye. Hello. Bye.